Father, we thank you, Lord, for another hour of fellowship. As it is written, they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in prayers. And Lord, even as we gather together today, we know that truly our fellowship is with the Father, and even as it is with one another, bless our fellowship together today. Speak to our hearts the words of admonition. Let them come alive, even from these pages of this book as we read them. Let them be inscribed in our hearts, O Lord, and give us understanding. We declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be this morning. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, Romans chapter 13, we started that yesterday, but only covered one of the areas of admonition, being subject to the higher powers, obeying the the laws of the land, to the extent that those laws do not contradict the laws of God. And if they do, then we must choose to obey the highest of all the highest, higher powers, which is God. Praise the Lord. So we covered that yesterday. And, you know, that's basically the first four or five verses of that chapter. So we'll pick up the rest of it. So you must needs be subject. This is verse 5. Not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this reason, pay ye tribute also. You know, so we do pay taxes and stuff like that. The taxes are imposed. Well, as a good citizen, you pay those taxes. Hopefully those taxes are used for the improvement of the welfare of the citizens and for different programs. And so, you know, we pay tribute. One time Jesus was accused falsely of not paying taxes. You know, Jesus didn't need to pay any taxes, but he asked Peter and the rest of the disciples, well, really? Because they asked him, does your master pay taxes or why not? So Jesus, you know, he said, well, show me a coin. But they said, well, is it lawful for us? There were two situations. One time they said, why don't you pay taxes? And then the other one, they said, well, is it lawful for us to pay taxes? Always looking for a way to entrap him. But Jesus way ahead of them. Is it lawful to pay taxes? They asked him. And Jesus, well, always, you know, wiser than all of them. So, well, show me a coin. And when they showed him the coin, well, he said, whose image and superscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. I said, well, in that case, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and then give unto the Lord what is the Lord's. Beautiful answer. Because, you know, the money and the time did belong to Caesar, because his image was on it. And Jesus said, well, since this is his money and so forth, well, then pay him taxes. Now, Jesus did not, you know, come to overthrow the Roman government like many people thought. But because he said, well, my government is not of this world. But he did, you know, did obey or instruct that people should pay taxes. There was no problem. And one time when they needed to pay taxes, well, you know, he made Peter walk for it and go get the coin out of a fish's mouth. and pay the tax that way. So, tell us, they said, what do you think? Matthew 22 and verse 17. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or no? Some of us may argue that, well, we don't need to pay taxes because the system of this world is corrupt. And, or maybe they're not using the taxes for the right thing and so on. Well, you might actually get into trouble, you know, because if you're, you know, if there are benefits and government programs that require you to have paid your taxes and you don't pay, well, you might actually be denied of those services. But Jesus was showing to us here that those are not the situations in which you need to be militant. You know, if it's the ordinance is in place for you to pay taxes, well, then pay taxes, you know. And Jesus gave a very, very good answer. Show me the tribute money. Because they say, well, should we give tribute or not? Well, show me the tribute money. So they brought him a penny and he said, whose image and superscription is this? It's a Caesar's, huh? Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's and unto God the things which are God's. So when they heard these words, they marveled and they left him alone and they went their way. And Jesus was always silencing the critics and the questions that are brought to entrap him. He was always silencing them that way. And this verse here that we are reading in the book of Romans also tells us, well, you know, give honor to whom honor is due. Give tribute to whom tribute is due. And custom to whom custom is due, etc. So, what is the meaning of all of that? Let's talk about that a little bit. What is custom? Well, there are some customs that are okay to do. Some customs may actually contradict the word of God. So, you got to choose rightly. You know, there are some customs where, like in my culture, it is customary to give respect and honor to the elderly. That's a good culture, you know. There are some other cultures, though, that are not acceptable according to Christian principles. There are some things they do during traditional marriages. You know, they, you know, might bring alcohol. They might even say some prayers to their ancestors and stuff like that. Those things are not necessarily acceptable practices, you know, for believers. So when we are giving custom to custom, well, just like we talked about yesterday, obey the laws, but only to the point that they don't contradict the word of God. Well, do the customs. Only to the point that it doesn't contradict the word of God. They were to bring customs that contradict. Well, you got to choose, you know, which one that you are going to do. Obey the word of God or obey some customs just to please everybody. So when we are giving commandments like this in the scriptures, you know, we have to sift it with wisdom. It's not every custom that we should follow. If the custom is good, well, then follow it. You know, but if the custom is contrary to the word of God, then do not follow it. Praise the Lord. Tradition. Yeah, custom is another way for tradition. In my culture, marriage is actually traditional. In other words, you know, believers choose to go to church to do marriage and all that, court and so forth. Well, that's not our culture. Marriage is traditional. You can do that if you want to, but that's not our culture. Now, our culture is the giving away of the woman, you know, by the family, the other family. That's how we do marriage. And when that's done, they are married. And they may choose to celebrate in the church or get their pastor to bless their wedding and people to pray for them and so forth. But the traditional marriage is the custom. So, and if you're married according to the custom, then you're married according to the custom. I remember one instance many, many years ago. I was in this place called Federal School of Science, and there was one of our sisters then. I remember I was maybe 19 or 20 then. And one of our sisters came one day and said she has a problem. She was from the eastern part of the country. She had a problem. I said, well, what is the problem? And she said, well, this man to whom she's married is not a Christian. We didn't even know she was married. I said, oh, you're married? And then if she wants to leave him, go marry a Christian. You know, and I said, and I asked that question. I said, you're married? She said, yeah. I mean, said, well, she doesn't know whether she's married or not. I said, well, what do you guys do in your culture? Because I didn't know their culture. Tell us how you do. You know, describe the, and incidentally, we had one or two other brothers that were from the same eastern part of the country where she came from. So I asked, I said, well, let's find out. You tell us what you did. Let's find out what the culture is. And let's see if that's the case. So they did some research. They brought us some answers. They said, this is what we do. And so forth, traditionally, to say that two persons are married. We asked her independently what they had done. And it turned out that she had done all those traditional rites or had been done for her. And she was traditionally married. And so she was seeking, you know, she was seeking affirmation that she could just leave this man because he wasn't a believer and go marry somebody else. Some people actually thought it was okay. Well, I said no. You know, I said, and I remember pointing to this scripture that, you know, Bible say custom to whom custom is due. If this was your custom to be married this way and you've done all these things that they said is done, then you are married. You know, well, nobody liked that answer. She didn't like it either. But well, it is what it is. You know, the Bible says, well, you know, when we've gone into marriage, we should not be seeking divorce. And they pointed those things out. I was only a young man. I wasn't even married. I didn't even know anything too much about marriage. But I knew the scriptures. You know, and I had to be guided by the scripture. You know, so you know, people, you know, like to get away from things sometimes, seek affirmation. Fast forward many, many, many years after that, found myself in another situation. Now I'm here in the United States, many, many, many years later. Another sister comes up to me and asks a question, almost similar question. This time, that sister is from my culture. So I understood it. And she's even married the man, had some children, and so forth. But for one reason or the other, she has reason to believe that she shouldn't be married to the man. And I said, well, you know, what does the scripture say? So she was wanting affirmation that she could leave her husband. I said, well, I'm not going to tell you that. Yeah, that's what you want to hear? No, come to the wrong place. You know, so I said, I'm here minding my own business, right? If you come to me, ask me a question, you're going to hear it the way it is. You know, so if you don't want to hear what I want to say, don't ask me. That's the way it was with Jesus. If you ask him a question, he'll tell you the way it is, not what you want to hear. So I said, you know, I had to point it out to her, the traditional things I've already concluded. I said, well, you know, you are married to this man. And she didn't like that answer at all. I said, well, you know, it is what it is. And then she went and did whatever she wanted to do. But, you know, hey, we have got to stay with the Word of God. That's, you know, that's, I say those examples just to show you the custom and tradition. You know, God honors those things when they are not contrary to His Word. Now, God doesn't honor traditions that are contrary to the Word of God. You know, in fact, Jesus spoke about that. He said, you know, you guys, against the Pharisees, that is, you guys dishonor the Lord in that you throw away God's commandments, you know, and instead you teach for commandments, you know, traditions and doctrines of men. And this was the case when, you know, their culture or whatever they were holding on to was contrary, you know, to the Word of God. So let's read something in Matthew chapter 15. You know, there was a story here being told. I mean, many times Jesus was engaged, you know, with the Jews in one way or the other. They ask him questions, they tell him things, and so forth. And then he also tell them, you know. So let's read it from beginning of verse 1 of Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which are Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now, there's something I want to bring out here about tradition of the elders. You know, sometimes they're just traditions. It's nothing wrong whether you do them or don't do them. You know, sometimes they are not necessarily binding, you know, as in this case. So Jesus also asked them a question. You know, notice that Jesus, anytime they ask him a question, ask them back a question. You know, the baptism of John, they asked him, is it from heaven or is it of men? Jesus said, well, I mean, no, actually, no, that's not what they asked him. That's what he asked them. They asked him, who gave you this power? By what means do you do these things? By what authority do you do these miracles? And he said, well, I will also ask you a question. The baptism of John, is it of men or is it of God? And they thought within themselves, well, if we say it is of God, then he will say, why then did you not believe him? Because they didn't believe John. And if we say it is of men, we are afraid of the people because all these people hold John as a prophet and they are not going to like it. They may stone us. So they said to Jesus, well, we cannot tell. Jesus said, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. So I love the way that he always asks, you know, when they ask him a question, he asks them a question back. In this case, they ask him a question. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? But they don't do these things. And this particular tradition was not one that had any consequences one way or the other, other than health, maybe. He said, well, you don't wash your hands. They don't wash their feet and all these things when they eat. Those are their traditions. They had several washings they had to do before you can sit down to eat. So Jesus said, well, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? By your tradition. For God commanded, so he's going to bring out some things. See, and here I want to bring out the issue of tradition versus the Word of God. The Word of God commanded, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, according to your tradition, that whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever he might be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. So these people, they say, well, children can say, well you know, they're not responsible to honor their father and mother. You know, I don't have to do anything to honor you. Even if I do something, it's a gift, you know. So they just dishonor their parents, dishonor everything. And he said, well, yet the Word of God says it this way. Why do you also transgress the tradition of God? And said, you know, thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. This is the place where I'm actually going. So if the tradition or the custom, you know, is in violation of the commandment of God, then stay away from it. you know. So he says, you know, Isaiah prophesied of these people that in vain do they honor me or worship me, for they draw near with me unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So in vain they worship, teaching for doctrines the traditions of men. So commandments of men. So this is what I want to bring out. Those commandments and those traditions and those customs, they're good as long as they're not contrary to the word of God. So you got to know the word of God and check out, check out the traditions. And if they are good, well, then follow, you can do them. It's okay. But other traditions that mean nothing, like in this case, washing of hand, washing of feet, and so forth, mean nothing. Jesus said, well, you guys spend a whole lot of time washing the, you know, outside of the plate, but the inside is dirty. And so, well, you know, clean the inside, then the outside will be clean as well. You know, they just want to make appearances, wash their feet, wash their hands, do all these things. But Jesus said, those things that you put inside your mouth, you know, with unwashing hands, that's not what will defile you. You can get sick, you know, put germs in there, but it doesn't defile you spiritually. But the things that defile you are the thoughts of your heart that come out of your mouth and the mind, you know, adulteries, fornications, and all lies and things that, you know, well, that those things come out of there. And those are the things that defile you. But tradition of men can be kept as long as it's not contrary, you know, to the word of God, you know. So that's what I wanted to bring out in that lesson. But now I want to turn to, you know, how we give honor to whom honor is due. You know, sometimes we overdo it. You know, and when it is overdone like that, you know, and the people, the recipient of that honor, when it is overdone, sometimes they don't even turn the glory, you know, back to God. I'm going to read to you some examples in the scriptures and then even some things that the Bible says about these things. You know, there was a story, you know, in the book of, you know, Acts chapter 12, I believe it was, you know, where the, there was a man, you know, Herod or whatever, who was, you know, he gave an oration. He gave an oration and people said, you know, it is the voice of God. And yeah, he was enjoying, you know, that accolade and different things, but he did not, you know, he did not give the glory to God, and the angel of God struck him. This story is in Acts chapter 12, around verse 23 or so. So let me pull it up and let's read it. So, okay. Upon a set day, from verse 21 of Acts chapter 12, upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and made an oration unto the people. Now, he was a great speaker. And the people, I mean, shouted. I mean, he could really move the people by his speeches. You know, and the people shouted, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. You know, and immediately, well, you might say, well, so what? He's not the one that said it. Well, but he said, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eating of worms and gave up the ghost. You know, so we got to be careful when too much honor is placed and people don't immediately turn the glory back to God. You know, the Lord taught me that, look, give the glory back to God. People may throw honor and glory at you. As you just turn around, give it right back to God. if you don't do that, well, then you are stealing God's glory. You know, there is a lesson that the book of Malachi, you know, chapter 1, tells us. And I remember, you know, when I first got onto this platform called WhatsApp, called Clubhouse, you know, and back in the day, a few years ago, when you went to every room you went, it was a tradition. And people still do it today, but it's, you know, they've toned it down a bit. You know, back then, I would go to a few rooms and somebody wanted to speak. They would take about, you know, 5 minutes to honor the man of the house, the lady of the house, the this and this and this, which is okay. But they would say almost nothing to honor the Lord, or, you know, maybe just one word to honor the Lord, not at all, but they honor everybody else, you know, and I kept looking. So one day, you know, I was, you know, kind of troubled with all those things. And I remember this scripture, you know, Malachi 1 and 6 said, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master, you know, and if I then be a father, where's my honor? You know, so sometimes we honor everybody else except God. And if I be a master, where's my fear? You know, and, you know, we honor, yeah, you spend hours doing things or minutes or something proclaiming the honor of people. But do we take time to proclaim the honor of the Lord? God said, well, you should honor your father. That's good. But he is a father too. So where is his own honor if he's a father? You know, every servant is in reverence of their master. He said, well, if I also be a master, then where is my fear and my reverence? So, ladies and gentlemen, in as much as it's a good thing to honor, give honor to whom honor is due, give custom to whom custom is due. Well, God is the number one person to whom honor is due. And we must give him that honor. And we must give him that, you know, praise and that glory. There's another definition for pride, which is basically, you know, not giving the whole glory to God. That story is found in the story of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted up with pride in his achievements, you know, because he thought that he had achieved all those things, building great Babylon, hanging gardens, you know, and all those things that he did. He thought he had done those things by himself. And he gave not the glory to God, you know, and listen to how he said it. He said, is this not great Babylon? This is Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. Is this not great Babylon that I have built or the house of my kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I mean, see how many times he put himself in the forefront of receiving all the glory. God gave him to be king over dominions and countries and so forth. God put all these things in his hands for a reason, you know. But he thought he had done. God made him great, and he did have wisdom. He could build a lot of things, and they built some things. And some till today, people still say the, you know, one of the wonders, seven wonders of the world, hanging gardens of, you know, of Babylon and so on. Yeah. So while he was saying this thing, strutting and giving glory to himself, there was a voice that came from heaven and said, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken that kingdom is departed from thee, and it shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Make thee to drink, eat grass as oxen, and seven times, 7 years, pass over you, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, give it to whomsoever he will, And all these things that came upon him, came upon him. So at the end of the days, when he was restored, he said, well, you know, at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and the glory of my kingdom, and honor and brightness turned unto me. My counselors sought me again, and I was established or re-established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. But now he knows. He said, but now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. We should have done that at the first. All whose works are truth and his ways are judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. So he finally figured out he better give the glory to God. You know, he didn't at first, you know, and gave all the glory to himself. So honor is good. To whom honor is, you know, belongs, or who is deserving of it. But also, let's not forget to honor the Lord. Honor your father and mother, the Bible says. Yeah, that's a good scripture to remember, even in light of this verse that we are reading here. Honor, to whom honor is due. The scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with you. And the Bible says that it is the first commandment that carried a promise. Now, some of the others were just straight out commandments. It didn't say, you know, directly a promise behind it, you know, but, you know, the honor thy father and thy mother, verse had a promise behind it. You can find that in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And also Ephesians 6 verses 2 and 3 refer to it. Let's read Exodus 20 and 12. He says, honor your father and mother that it may be well with you, the land where you are going and so forth. Well, what exactly does honor your father and your mother mean? You know, some people honor only one of the two parents. They may honor their dad maybe because he's strict, and then dishonor their mom because she's, you know, kind of free spirit, you know. But is that what the Bible says? Does it say honor your father only? No. Honor thy father and thy mother. See, you can only have one father and mother. You cannot have any, you can have multiple sisters, multiple brothers. You may have, you know, somebody may have a wife, their wife may die, they may marry another wife. Somebody may have a husband, their husband may die, they marry another one. But you can only have one father in your life and one mother. You can't have more than one. You know, and the Lord said, honor that person who is your father and honor that person who is your mother so that it may be well with you in the place where you are going. You know, now, did he say honor your father and mother until you are age 18? Because, you know, in the United States, they say that people who are 18 are adults. Huh? They're practically still, you know, children, but, yeah, maybe young adults, you know, the society calls them adults and they think they have arrived. But most of the time, they are still fumbling around trying to figure life out. Well, doesn't matter how old you get. As long as your father and mother is living, you must still honor them. You can never outgrow that honor. You know, I remember when my father was alive, you know, I was a grown man, many, many years under my belt, in my own right, and my own family and everything. But still had to honor my dad, you know. I had to honor my dad all the time, you know. And our culture is, you know, men prostrate to the elders, you know. And even, it didn't matter how old I got, I still prostrated. Even when I went to Nigeria, you know, my great uncle and all the ones that still are alive, you know, we would prostrate, we would kneel. That's our culture. Some people don't like it, but it is what it is. Because the Bible says honor them. And we do honor them. And, you know, when you honor your parents, it will be well with you. You know, is what the scripture says. You know, according to Ephesians also brings it out and talks about the blessing you know, that you get by honoring your father and mother. But remember, not just one, but both. Children, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live it long in the earth. So he brings another dimension here. In the other place, he said, well, that, you know, the Lord may do you good in the land where you're going. But here it says, well, you know, that it may be well with you and live long in the earth. So he has a promise. If you honor your parents, it'll be well with you. And you will live long in the earth. So I know already that I cannot, you know, I mean, I must live long in the earth because I honored my parents to the glory of God. So, you know, that's I've honored the promises. Now, honor your father and mother. Anybody that's in this room today, if you still have a father and you still have a mother, honor them. Doesn't matter how old you are. Honor your father and your mother. That's give honor to whom honor is due. And we should also honor one another. We read that already when we were doing chapter 12. In honor, preferring one another. So also honor people. Don't just disrespect people, you know, just because the Bible says, you know, wives should submit themselves to their own husband. Does that mean that the husband should be a bully? And not honor their wives? Well, you should honor your wives too, because the Bible says, give honor to the woman as unto the weaker vessel, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So, I mean, this honoring is, you know, across the board. Wives should honor their husband. Husbands should honor their wives. Children should honor their parents. Even parents should honor their children. You know, fathers, you know, don't provoke your children. I mean, don't just bully and be mean to them. You know, so wherever we got to use the word of God to balance things out. And when honor is due, give the honor. But let's not overdo things. Let no man think of himself more highly than he ought. But to think soberly, we covered that already in chapter 12. Think soberly. God has dealt to every man the measure of grace. You know, when people, escalate you too much, bring that down. Let's give the glory to God. You know, they put people too much on a pedestal without giving glory to God. Turn around, give the glory to God. You know, when people praise you, you turn around and give the praise to God. That's the way it should be. Praise the Lord. All right, God taught me that, and you know, it's something that we've learned. I'm sharing it with you today. That's the only way. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. There's a lot of things when he was talking about, you know, people who do things in order to be praised of men and in order to get glory from men. He said, you have your reward. Now, you have their reward. You know, he didn't say, you know, it's a sin or anything. Just say you have your reward. So that means you cannot be rewarded again because you already have your reward. Now, what kind of reward do you really want? You know, if we enjoy only the praise of men, well, that's a good reward for you to have now, but you won't get another reward because Jesus said you have your reward. If you do it to be seen of men or to get praise of men, then Jesus said, well, you know, you have your reward. But the thing is, if you want the true reward, you know, everlasting reward from the Lord, well, then you better, you know, you better give the glory to God, not take that glory to yourself, because that is not the way to get the true reward. If you let people reward you with praises and so forth, well, Jesus said, well, you have your reward. Praise the Lord. Now, the true honor, you know, that Jesus and wants us to have, you know, is the honor that comes from God. People may honor us, and that's good, but it's not as good, you know, as the honor that comes from God, you know. The people that are serving the Lord today in any form or shape, especially when we're in the ministry, you know, Jesus said, well, if any man serves me, you know, him will my Father honor. And that honor, that's the one that we really want. Let's read it in John chapter 12 and verse 26. The kind of honor, even though they say give honor to honor, which is okay sometimes, as long as it's not overdone. But the honor that we really want is the one that comes from God. Jesus will tell the disciples and the Jews, you know, so many times, he would tell them that, you know, I do not seek the honor of men. There is one that honoreth me, which is my Father. You know, and then he told his disciples the same thing. You should look for the honor that comes from God, not the one that comes from men. That's what he said in John 12, 26. If any man serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also will my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now that's the honor that you want. The one that really comes from God. You know, so let's make sure we don't overdo all this honor and so forth. You know, and you may, don't put a stumbling block in front of your brother and your sister. If you are the reason or a contributing factor to the reason where somebody falls because you are over praising them and everything, then you are guilty. Yeah. Their blood might be on your hands because you put a stumbling block. But they themselves should know to return that glory to God. But when you overdo it, you overpraise people and so forth, be very, very careful. You know, and flattery should not be used in the kingdom. Yeah. Just, it's good to honor people. It's good to appreciate them. In fact, the Bible says that those that labor in the world and so forth, you know, let them be deserving of double honor. But let's not overdo it. You know, sometimes we overdo it, you know. And people will say, well, the Bible says, you know, we should give them honor that labor in the world. That's true. But let's not overdo it. Because sometimes you get into their head. If you get into your head, then pride can get into the heart. You know, even from something that was good, it may now turn evil. So we got to be careful. So give custom to whom custom is due. Give honor to whom honor is due, etc. You know, let's remember also God being a father, he needs to be honored. God being a master, he needs to be reverenced. And if we do these things and we balance them out, you know, then it is good. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, let me read a little bit further. In this, I want to cover this, you know, chapter completely today. I hope I can. Now, it goes on to say, owe no man anything but to love one another. Remember, it's diverse exhortations from this chapter. There were some exhortations in chapter 12, more exhortations from this chapter. Owe no man anything but to love one another. It's a powerful, powerful verse. But people forget that. You know. Don't owe anybody anything. It's love one another. Praise the Lord. You know. Don't try to defraud anybody of anything. Pay your debt. You know. If you owe something, you need to pay that debt. And owe doesn't only mean money. It just means, you know, we could promised something, and then you know, we just need the grace of God to do as we promised. Now, we don't want to be called a wicked person. You know, who's a wicked person? Well, Psalm 37 and verse 21 says, the wicked borrow and will not repay. You know, that's right. But the righteous, they are generous, you know, and they give. They will also pay whatever they owe. So, owe no man anything but to love one another. The person that likes to take advantage of people, borrow with no plans to pay back, Psalm 37 verse 21 calls them wicked. Now, you don't want to be classified as wicked, so let us not fall into that category. When we borrow, be sure you're planning to pay back. Don't borrow with the intention of not paying back. Say, well, the scripture says, you know, if somebody will borrow from you, ask not again. Well, that's not, that's for the lender. But the borrower must have intent to pay. Praise the Lord. You got to pay. If you don't, you know, pay what you owe, well, then the Bible classifies such a person as a wicked person. And that's not a good thing, you know. So let us pay what we owe. When you borrow, well, then pay what you owe. Psalm 37, verse 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous show mercy and give. You know, such as the blessed of him that shall inherit the earth and so forth. Well, and they that be cursed will be cut off. But we don't want to be cut off because we have a mind of not paying, you know, not paying. Well, let's also pay to the Lord our dues. When we vow a thing, we should also pay. You know, don't be like somebody who vows a vow and cannot pay. You know, there are many scriptures in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, some scriptures in Deuteronomy 23, etc. So let's read some of them. You know, this is also, don't owe the Lord anything. Even Malachi talks about, you know, people who have robbed the Lord in tithes and offerings and so forth. Here in Ecclesiastes, it talks about when you make a vow. So let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 5. When you make a vow, you know, be sure that you pay. I mean, this simple things that are in the scriptures, people neglect them because they think, you know, these things are not important, but they are in the scripture. Every word of God is pure. You know, when thou vowest a vow unto God, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 4, defer not to pay it, for God hath no pleasure in fools. Now, so again, here's another definition for fools. Psalm 53 verse 1 says the fool, and Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Well, here's another one that's called fool. A fool is a person that makes a vow to God and does not pay, according to this verse. God has no pleasure in fools when you vow and you don't pay. Pay that which thou hast vowed. For it is better that you should not vow than thou should vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say before the angel, oh, it was a mistake. No. Why should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of your hands? Because you didn't pay your vows. Now, that may be another reason why some things are blocked. Pay your vows. And people make a lot of vows. You know, Lord, if you do this, I will do that. You know, that's a vow. Don't say it if you're not going to do it. And then when the Lord does the thing, then you forget to do the thing which you promised, then you've broken your vow. You know, Anna prayed and said, Lord, if you give me a man child, I will dedicate him to the Lord all the days of his life. Well, God gave her and she did. As somebody that kept, that was Samuel, kept her vow. But if you say, well, Lord, you know, bail me out of this quicksand that I'm in, miry clay. The psalmist said, the Lord pulled me out of the miry clay, Psalm 40. You know, sometimes we get into things and we are sinking. You know, sinking. The struggle, you sink more. It's a miracle. It's quicksand. And you pray and say, Lord, if you get me out of this, I will do that. I will do this. If you save my child, you have a child that's dying. You save me out of this situation, I will do this. Well, and then the Lord will do the thing. And then the people forget that we are owing the Lord that vow. You know, it's not just owe no man anything. Well, owe the Lord no vow either. You vow a thing to the Lord, better do it. According to this scripture, you know, keep your vows. It's better for you not to vow than for you to vow and not do it. Well, you know, why would then the Lord allow the Lord to destroy the work of your hands? You know, so when you make a vow, say, Lord, yeah, also you better pray that the Lord should help you to be able to, you know, keep that vow. And that is so important. You know, there may be some things that are held back, you know, because, you know, we are not keeping our vows. So, you know, examine yourself and see if you are keeping your vows. And the scripture says, well, it's better for you not to vow at all, you know, than for you to vow and not do it. Same thing is taught in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it will be seen unto you if you don't do it. So there you have it. You know, don't make any vows that you will not keep. It will be regarded, sin lieth at your door when you've made a vow to the Lord that you did not keep. So let's examine ourselves today. Have you made a vow to the Lord that you are not keeping or did not keep? Now be careful now. You know, he said, it's better for you don't vow anything. You know, just say, Lord, I thank you for what you are doing. Don't promise you you are going to do anything. You know, and then you don't do it. It's worse, you know, because the angel is listening. He said, well, why should you say, well, it was an error? Well, no, it's not an error. They are listening. So be careful. You vow, do it. Otherwise, don't vow at all. You know, even scripture say, don't swear anything. Just say yes or no. Anything beyond this, it says it's a sin. Don't prompt, you know, people vow and swear things up and down. Why? Just say yes and no. You know, but if you vow, then you better keep it. You know, now the word of the Lord unto God is like vow to him. That's why he keeps his word. Once he says it, that's the way it is. I mean, can you imagine if God were not keeping his word to us? So we ought also to live in the same attribute. Keep your word. Let your word be your word. You know, if you say so, let it be so. Praise God. And especially if you owe somebody something, say, hey, look, I'll pay you back. Then pay them back. You know, I've known situations where people, you know, borrow money, but they don't want to pay. And then it brings sourness between that friendship. And the other one is asking, the other one don't want to pay, and then back and forth and all kinds of things. I've even seen situations where it became very bad, you know, and so on, you know. And it's not a good thing. Pay what you owe. Owe no man anything. You know, if you owe directly because you borrowed or you did something that caused, you know, inflicted difficulties to others, then make it right. You know, just make it right as best as you can. And the Lord will give you grace. Love one another is the golden rule, he says here. He said, look, all these things, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not, you know, kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not, you know, defraud thy brother, thou shalt not covet anything of thy brothers, and so forth. He said, all these things, and back to Romans chapter 13 now, all these things are fulfilled in one word, which is love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, Jesus said the same thing, you know, upon these two commandments, he said, first one is love the Lord thy God with all your heart and so forth. And then second is love your neighbor as yourself. You know, these two say that's it. You know, everything, law and prophets, they hang on these two things, he said. So thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if be any other commandment, he said, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. And what you don't want to, you know, people to do to you, then don't do it to them either. Call it the golden rule. So that's it right there. Love one another, for love is a fulfilling of the law. And lastly, knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, chambering. I mean, this is sexual lewdness, wantonness, chambering and wantonness, refer to that, you know, just promiscuity, jumping from, you know, one person to another and so forth, and sexual immorality. That's what all that requires to know. Not even in strife, not even in envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Remember when we did Romans 8, walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is awake out of sleep? Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, in the book of Ephesians, you know, Paul calls this out, you know, also by saying, awake thou that sleepest, Ephesians 5 and 14. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, listen to how he says that. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. See? Now, so we see that spiritual slumber eventually leads to spiritual death, you know. A little folding of the arms, a little sleep, a little it doesn't matter. You know, then before you know it, the conscience is seared. People are dead already. You know, there's no more feeling of the spirit. You know, there's no more even a walking of the spirit in there. Conscience is already seared, you know, that's deadness. So awake, he said, you know, there's a lot of lukewarmness these days. Lukewarmness in the sense of the things of God, you know, people don't really are not passionate about the things of God. When it comes to the things of God, that's when we are late, late to everything. Late to church, you know, same person that's always late to the church. They might not be late to the job for which they are paid, but you know, when it is time to come to church, just be late. Just come anytime you want. We have responsibilities to our communities, to our local churches. You do them or you don't do them. You just are lackadaisical about everything, you know, and I've seen this over and over again. People are assigned certain things to do, you know, but they don't do them and they don't even care to make, you know, arrangements for somebody to take their turn. They will do that on the job, but because it's church, they don't care. They have time to pray, they have time to do the review or whatever. You know, in our local church, we do all these things and people are assigned to these things. And sometimes some of them are very faithful. They're very good. Others, they just don't care. You know, so, you know, this is a sleeper attitude is what I call it, but you need to awake from that slumber. Arise from the dead. It's high time, he said, to awake. You know, we can't look when the master, the bridegroom was coming. The Bible said they all slumbered and slept, but there's a time that they had to awake, trim the lamps. That was a lamp trimming time. A bridegroom cometh. Glory to God. And One song we played at the beginning of this room today was Just Like He Said He Would. He's coming back again. You know, so God has given us instructions in the Word of God. You know, the Lord is coming again. Quicken your pace. Awake. It's never too late as long as it is called today. But one day, it will be too late. You know, the things that we procrastinate and just, you know, lackluster way of serving the Lord, one day it will be too late. And what will that day? Well, it is a day that is known to the Lord, you know. In that day, the book of Revelation chapter 22, he says, he that is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. Revelation 22:11. There is coming a time that God is going to fix it, and you can't go back and forth anymore. You know, they will just, it's over. Can't do anything. You know, even though they would have wanted to, they find themselves that they can't do it because this prophecy will be fulfilled. Let him that is unrighteous, you know, be unrighteous still. And let him that is holy, be holy still. And those who are, you know, and so forth. One day, you know, it's over. And God pulls the time like that. And that's it. Nobody can do anything anymore. He that is unjust will remain unjust. And he that is filthy will remain filthy. And he that is righteous, he will still be righteous. He that is holy will still be holy. But this is the time, there's time right now to awake to righteousness. See? Awake to righteousness. And Christ shall give you light. This is the exhortation, you know, that the scripture is giving us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34 also says that, you know, awake to righteousness and sin not. But some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame, he said. So it is time for us to awake out of sleep, you know, and keep your spiritual senses, your spiritual antennas up, because the Bible says we should redeem the time because the days are evil. It's high time. We don't have time to waste. No time to lose. Glory to God. It's no time to waste, no time to lose. This is the time to arise, you know, trim those lamps, you know, and cut off the dead wick. You know, those things that, you know, the light in the lamp, after a while, it's covered by soot and everything. Got to cut it off, crank up fresh one, put fresh oil in there. And the Lord said, well, actually, let your oil lamps be burning. Let your lamps be burning. Don't let your lamps go out. And this is the time, you know, to make sure our lamps are not going out. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 12. Let's read some admonitions, you know, that the Lord gives us there. Then we are going to wrap up the lesson here for Romans chapter 13. In Luke chapter 12, there are many things the Lord says about the end of time and how we should quicken our pace. And here is one that he says that aligns with what we are talking about here. He said, well, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's verse 32 of Luke 12. But the next verses say, sell that you have, give alms and provide for yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief can approach, neither moth can corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. So put your treasure in heaven by giving it away on earth. That's the only way you can put it in heaven. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be there. Actually, people say the opposite of that today. Exactly the opposite of what Christ said. Christ said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. But people say, well, my heart is not in the thing. That's why I'm not giving to it. Huh? Jesus says the other way around. If you give to it, your heart will be there because you are investing in that effort. See, if you spend a lot of money to buy a new car, your heart will be in that car. You know, if you support your local churches and their ministries, your heart will be there as well. You support them even financially, your heart will be there. You say, well, I'm not supporting because I don't, you know, I'm not because your heart. No, it's the other way around. When you support it, your heart will be there because you've invested your money and so forth in it. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be. If your treasure is in heaven, how do you get treasure to heaven? I'm here on earth. Well, Jesus said, give it away. You give it away on earth. That's how you get it stored in heaven. Wow. You know, that's an understanding. And if you do that, well, you'll be thinking about heaven. Set your affection on things above and not on things beneath. But he said, look, let your loins be guarded about and your lights burning. You know, other translations say your lamps. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he shall return. And when he knocketh, may open unto him immediately. Now, blessed are those servants whom when the Lord cometh shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he will gird himself, make them to sit down to meat, come forth and serve them. And if he shall come the second watch or come the third watch or whatever watch, you know, and find them doing so, then blessed are those servants, you know, and so forth. So, be ye therefore also ready, because you know not the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a wise and faithful servant, whom his Lord has appointed to give meat to his house in due season? Well, blessed is that servant whom when the Lord shall find him so doing. But if that servant shall begin to say, my Lord delayeth his coming, but the Lord of that servant will come in a day that he thinketh not about it, and will catch him unawares. And when he does, will appoint his portion with the hypocrites. Cast him out, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, in closing today, let's admonish ourselves with these words from Matthew chapter 24 and from about verse 45 or so. These are the, you know, my closing remarks today, that we should awake and be doing the thing that God calls us. Awake out of slumber, you know, and be doing the thing. Who then? I read from Matthew 24, you know, verse 45. Prior to that, in fact, let me just read it from verse 42 or so. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, you know, the thief advertised that he coming at such an hour, or you found it out somehow, then you will guard your house. And he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, see, for in such an hour as you think not, that's when the Son of Man is coming. He'll catch most people off guard. That's what an hour in which you think not means. But who then is a faithful and wise servant? Not one that is slothful and falling asleep on his watch, but faithful and wise servant whom the Lord had, whom the Lord had made ruler over his household to give them meat in his due season. So people who are responsible, you know, for doing the work of the ministry and so forth, you know, we better be very careful, you know, because if the Lord has given us charge to give out meat to his house in due season, well, he said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Verily I say to you, shall make him ruler over many goods, all his goods. At first he was over ruler over a small congregation. Now, if he was faithful, that's faithful in little, faithful in much. At the end, you never know. You know, God has, you know, many things planned. As I mentioned, he has stars. He has things that we don't even know about. I would give him the morning star and so forth. You know, we don't know. But got to be faithful in what he asks you to do. But, and if that evil servant, this is the one I actually want to emphasize. The evil servant is slothful, folding his arms, sleeping when he should have been awoken. You know, he shall be slothful. Say the Lord delays my his coming, shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. You know, then the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that is not aware of, and catch him off guard, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wherefore, I say what I say unto one, I say unto all. What the Spirit says unto one, he says unto all. He that sleepeth, awake. Thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead. Christ shall give you light. It is high time to awake out of slumber and to put on the armor of light and put on the armor of righteousness. You know, there's a lot of evil today. We must arise in light and cause our light to shine. Jesus said, let your light so shine, you know, that others will see and give glory to your Father that is in heaven. I pray for all of us that these words and these admonitions will have meaning, you know, in our hearts, and our lights will shine. We must arise and shine those light according to Matthew 5 and 16. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let your light shine. Arise. Do the works again, Jesus said to the church in Ephesus. Do the same works again. You know, go back to your first love, lest I come and take your candlestick out of its place. I pray that the Lord will quicken us, and we ourselves will quicken our pace. We arise, we awake out of slumber, and awake to righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you. I give you, Lord, the praise. I give you, Lord, the glory. Thank you for these admonitions and exhortations out of this chapter. We give honor and praise to the Lord. Help us, Lord, as we, you know, give tradition to whom tradition is good, do custom to whom custom, honor to whom custom. Remember also, help us to remember also not to overdo any of these things, but to give the Lord his own due praise as well. And to owe no man anything, but to love one another, even as the scripture has commanded us. Help us to awake from slumber to righteousness and to quicken our pace and to get in there and do, put in the sickle and do the work that God has commanded us to be doing. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.